Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
If your child has been diagnosed with a food allergy, what do you need to do to prepare them for school? It can be a very scary time sending them to school and making sure that they sit at a lunch table where children are not eating peanut butter, and all of these things now are coming out, and parents actually have to write letters so that other kids in the class understand what the food allergy is. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Kim. She's assistant professor of pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Allergy and Immunology at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kim. So food allergies in school. I was telling you off air that my daughter is in school now in fifth grade with a child with many allergies. And so as a result, the kids are not allowed to bring snacks to school that are not anything but fruit and vegetables. And other parents are finding this hard. What is a parent with the child with food allergies to do in this situation?
So there are two things, two major categories. One is how to treat a reaction should there be an accidental exposure. And most of this will be directed towards the school staff and supervising adults. And then, of course, there is how to prevent a reaction, which is your daughter is 10, you mentioned, and so this is of an age where you can talk to classmates. They are cognizant enough to participate in some of the avoidance strategies. The first thing is how to treat a reaction. Should we review that?
Well, sure. So what information do you share with the school? Start with the parents whose child has the allergies. Right from the beginning, they let the school know. And, you know, what about the teacher? Do they know how to treat it? What does the parent do?
So if the best thing, obviously, is to have a face-to-face meeting, that's the most effective with the key players, so principal, the main teachers that they're going to be encountering, and to provide an emergency plan. So that is a piece of paper that reviews the signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis and when to use what medication. And the two major medications are epinephrine, which is there's several auto-injectable devices on the market, and an antihistamine like Benadryl, Zyrtec, that kind of thing. So it is very important, number one, to educate everybody taking care of the child how to use the auto-injector, epinephrine. So that is probably where a lot of mistakes are made. They don't know how to use it, and therefore is delayed.
Give us a quick rundown on how to use an EpiPen.
So the EpiPen has two ends, one orange that the needle comes out of, and the other is a blue cap. And so some people mistakenly take the blue cap off and try to inject that end on the thigh. But in essence, it's kind of a little bit counterintuitive in that you have to take the cap off and then push until you hear a click in the upper outer thigh where the muscle is biggest, and then hold for 10 seconds. There is another voice-guided epinephrine auto-injector that's newer called AviQ, and that actually, after you take it out of its case, tells you what to do.
Wow, that's good. So voice-activated can really help, and school nurses should be, you know, warned and let know, and everybody should sort of know how to use one of these. Does the child themselves carry this EpiPen with them, or is it something the teacher has in the classroom?
Well, this would depend on the age of the child, the school, you know, what is the flow of the child's day. I mean, if they're in one room, yes, it's fine to have it with the child's teacher or in a designated place in the room. But if the child is going from place to place, it might be better to have it on the child. Of course, with younger kids, even if they carry it, they should not be expected to be responsible for administering it. But at least if it's on them and everybody knows where it is on them, you know, in a backpack or a bag or what have you, you don't have to waste time in looking for one or going to the nurse's office, for example. So it's important to have it readily available.
And what responsibilities do you teach your child about this situation?
again, this is age-related. So for, you know, a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old, this is, you know, the main things to teach them are don't eat anything without asking, don't share any foods, always wash your hands, trying to institute those kinds of policies or rules to a young child. They clearly need adult supervision because obviously impulse control is not as well developed, sharing is common, and you know they're not always cognizant of washing their hands after eating. As they get into school age, where they're older, they know not to share food. That's the young school age. Grade schoolers can be started to be taught how to use the auto injector. Still, probably too young to be responsible just by themselves. But you know, the whole transfer of responsibility is a years-long process. So probably by the time they're a teenager, they are more able to take care of it themselves, although the teenagers have a different problem in that they usually take more risks. And as far as eating things that may have cross-contaminated allergens, and you know, maybe also a little bit of denial, not getting the not treating symptoms early on because they don't want to bother their friends or interrupt activity.
So now I asked you sort of at the beginning, but let's get back into it about the other parents, one whose child's not allergic, but they might be sending in treats or packing, you know, peanut butter in their child's lunch. Words of advice, please, Dr. Kim, for those parents and things they can tell their own children about this child with the allergies.
So first thing is that the major danger to the allergic child is actual ingestion. So being in casual contact, like the vapors of peanut butter, for example, very distinctive, or being in contact with, you know, peanut butter, is not likely to induce a systemic reaction. Maybe touching it can cause hives or itching at the site. Young children, however, are a bit different because certainly if they touch the food, they can transfer the allergen easily from their skin to their mouth. And we also know that peanut can be, or peanut specifically has been studied, but any allergen can be cleaned from the hands by using running water and soap or commercial wipes, for example. Antibacterial gels and foams are not effective. They just kind of spread the allergen around. But these standard cleaning kinds of measures should suffice for most allergens and for most patients. For celebrations and parties, you know, even if every school, every classroom, every child is probably a little bit different, but there can be alternatives that are stashed away so the teacher knows, okay, this child can have these snacks if, you know, outside food is brought in for a party or what have you. It would be, of course, nicer if the class is able to participate in eating the same kind of food so that the child does not feel left out. But this probably depends on the child as well and how affected they are.
Yeah, how used to it they are. In the last 20 seconds or so, Dr. Kim, your best advice about food allergies and children going off to school with them.
So it's important that schools institute some policies like no sharing of foods, using foods having a label and then educating them about label reading, having a stash of safe alternative snacks, and having epinephrine available readily for any type of reaction, a moderate to severe type of reaction.
And learning how to use these things and educating the other children and the other parents about what to bring, what not to bring, what not to share with this child, and to be empathetic as well. You know, don't sit in front of them eating your peanut butter or something that they can't eat. You're listening to Healthy Children. Be sure and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.